Today is the 13th of October, 2014. I'm in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America. Thank you for joining me for tonight's webcast. Have done webcasts before in my life, and I must tell you the truth, I've never done one like I'm preparing to do tonight. I've never done that. I want to share something with you, and I want to Let me put it to you this way. I'm gonna put it to you the way one of my students put it to me, because I've always known this, but I've never really considered it for me. Because if you really look at me, like most Americans, we are a selfish breed of people. We demand more than any other citizen on the planet. We waste more, spend more. Don't get me wrong. Some of us, a very small number though, realizes the blessings that they have. And what I mean by blessings, I mean, this is in October of 2014. And I want you to hear me, because in 25 years, in October of, let's say, if this is 2014, if we're looking at by October of 3014, okay, no, not 3014, I want to do it right. I want to do my math right, because I'm counting ahead, and I want to count ahead 25, 30 years from now, from what I understand, at the rate of junk that we are going through in this country, we take 20-minute showers. It's a drought in Los Angeles, guys. Listen to this. It's a drought. I have elected to, a while back, the only things that get watered around my house is not the front lawn or the back lawn. The back lawn is turning into a dirt wasteland. I won't put water. The only thing that I water back there are the fruit trees in the backyard. In the front yard, I have kind of like a desert plants there, but I don't water the grass. I told my gardener, only come here once a month to edge up, and I think I'm going to pay him $30 a month. I told him, you come in every 2 weeks, it's unnecessary. I don't care whether this front lawn ever grows. Why? Because I'm trying to do my part. I'm trying to do my part in conserving, you know what I mean? I'm trying to be true to what I'm supposed to do. I don't see anybody else doing it. But I'm going to continue to do it, because I believe that that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm doing my part, because for many years as an adult in this country, I was like many of you that are listening to me. Selfish, self-centered, working to get stuff to heap it upon your own lust, and when I had a conversation with a student, what came up was my grandchildren. Because in 25 years, they are going to be the ones suffering. They may be 35 years old, then, when the end of our age really begins to collapse because we are running out of. I mean, I don't want to eat out again for another day in my life. I was talking with this young man, can be 19 or 20 years old, something like that, young, Australian, not American, Australian. And he told me how they process food and make food and sell this garbage and push it off as wholesome nutrition in these fast food restaurants. And this young man told me that he would never. He said, first of all, that he's vegan, because I was on the way to work this morning and extremely hungry and didn't feel like cooking anything, you know? I don't feel like cooking food and all of that, but I'm on the way to work and I became extremely hungry. So I said, oh, so I pulled in a Jack in the Box and I asked for a teriyaki plate because it has white rice, broccoli, carrots, onions, and things like that that I like to eat. And so I ordered one of those. There we are. I ordered one of those. And so I asked the youngster, well, what about that? And he told me how the food is prepared, what they cook it with, and that all these fast food restaurants follow a government code on what kind of food to cook, how to serve the people, and that these agencies could not do that unless they were following governmental regulations. I guess that's why I like going to independent places to have my breakfast or my lunch, you know, like a mom and pop shop instead of these big corporate names. They had just finished one of these Jack in the Box things, and I went in there because, well, the place was spotless and clean. Because usually when you go into a fast food restaurant, you got snotty-nosed kids all around. But this one is situated, that is, right on the corner where it's kind of hidden. And you got to be driving through traffic. And if you got a bunch of kids, they pass it before they tell their mom to pull in there and get something. So it looked pretty clean, and I went in and I ate it, and the bowl was good. And I had that for breakfast. That was my breakfast and my lunch. And for dinner here at home, I just had a chicken salad sandwich on wheat bread. One sandwich sliced in four little squares. And drinking some pink pineapple drink. But the young man told me what was in that food and how the government puts it in the food and how the citizens are told to eat this. And so we were having a discussion about when things get rough, when the food runs out, when our economy runs out, when everything runs out. And it comes down to the inevitable question again. You know, you may not want to think about these things. Some of you may think that you're very godly people and you think that you're going to be exempt from the madness when the end of the age comes. But you're not. I'm not. Now, there's a teaching in the New Testament Bible that states that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and if you are premillennial in your dispensationalism, meaning if you believe that before the end of the age comes, that Christ is going to come out of the clouds and Gabriel is going to blow a trumpet and you're going to hear the trumpet blow and you be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead Christians before you that were alive and remain shall be caught up first in the air, and then we which remain will be caught up afterwards. And the text says to be with the Lord forever with him in the air where he is, quote unquote. This is what the Christian religion teaches if you're premillennial. If you're amillennial, Well, then you have no guarantee that the rapture is going to take place, but you are assured that you will be here on this planet when this age is over and the great tribulation period begins. Now, that's why I call this on the end of the age, because from what I'm understanding, from what I'm looking at, you know, and I had that thing up there, Rampage, the movie. I mean, if you haven't listened to that yet, my goodness. That's what prompted me to take this further, because I got some news for you. Everything that you see in these movies is a planned schema to get things done. This young man told me, this Australian told me, that the movie The Matrix, and he mentioned the director that wrote the film, the Something Brothers, I don't know who it is, but he told me, and I would like somebody to try to look up and share that. I guess I can look it up on the internet if I had time, but I have more important things to do. But he told me that those guys that made that movie, The Matrix, were told by the government in this country that they could never produce another movie of that sort. And I asked him why, and the young man said, because it wakes up my generation. It wakes up our minds to know that we've been had. I'm thinking about it on a broader scale. When I look at these young people, and I got to tell you the truth, even in my own family, because my grandchildren are starting to demonstrate those kinds of characteristics. They're trying to demonstrate the kind of character. Well, what the hell? Why should I do anything right? Everything is all messed up anyhow. It's going to end up in oblivion. Look at my parents. Look at the adults in the world that I live in. So why should I be an ethical, morally upstanding person? Why can't I have a little fun? Why can't I get a little wild out too? I mean, when you look at all of the people that they watch, the Kanye West's, the Lil Wayne, the Lil Kim's, the Lil Whores, and the Lil Whorettes, and all this stuff. And so when you tell your children to go to church and listen to what the pastor says, oh, no, stop it. I'm teaching world religions, you know. And we jumped off of Judaism and kind of slid into Christianity very quick. And I asked them, I said, well, now, this is our nation's religion. And I said, here the man in the book says that Jesus of Nazareth came with the message of salvation to save us, or to save those. And I asked the students in the classroom, what did he come to save? How come people needs to be saved? I got about 45 students in that classroom. Not one of them. One of them can answer the question. But he also identified that he had no confidence in some kind of church people today because they're living in a different world. He's right. That's why I'm talking about the end of your world. I'm trying to talk to the Christians and say that when the end of your world comes, and you know when the end of your world comes, it comes when you die. That's when the end of your world is actually here, when you die. And if you are, unless you are Superman and kryptonite doesn't hurt you anymore, you and I are both going to die. And when that takes place, that is the end of my world. But I'm talking about another end of it. I'm talking about not the end of the world. I'm talking about the end of an age. I believe that we are living right now in the end of what I've studied for years, when I was a pastor in the church, when I was a Bible teacher in the church, I believe that we are at the end of the age. We're at the end of the church age. As a matter of fact, I think that that end has come and dissipated because it is not affecting. I asked one of the students, I said, what do you think the purpose of Christ doing these things? Because I had to show the slides, and it's in the book. And nobody really told me because they have no idea. that's what prompted this webcast. I said, what happened that an entire generation has no affinity with the religion of their fathers and their grandfathers? Mothers are grandmothers. Absolutely no affinity at all. Like their mind has been totally turned off. I had one young man, bless his little heart. And if you're listening, you know who you are. Because I used to have Filipinas come out to my Bible study. And I understand the love for the word. I wasn't trying to be hard. I just didn't want to give our cover up. But I was asking the young Filipino student to give me more clear, distinctive answers. And he couldn't. He can only go so far. And I knew this young man is an evangelical. But he was limited. He couldn't go beyond it because at a certain age, and this is what a student told me. Student said, Mr. Coleman, when they get you, and what he meant by they is when they get you in the hole, if you study the writings of George Frederick Hegel, and he believes that as long as you keep everybody in the hole, they're all connected. And when you tell somebody that they can't survive without someone else, you know, we are the world, we are the children, which is bull crap, really. But when you teach an entire generation this kind of junk, and they come up, well, we were leaving one building, and I was going to the parking structure, and I was speaking with the student, and I said, all right, I'm gonna see if you're right. And there was a student sitting on the quad drinking water. And I said, may I ask you a question? I'm a professor here. And the student said, yeah, okay, go ahead. I said, years down the future, that bottle of water that you're drinking, let's say 25, 30 years down the future, and you have a child, where do you think you're going to get a bottle of water from to give your child? You know, and the conversation was prompted, people, because we were talking about how we use up more stuff. I passed by a nursery today, and it wasn't that hot in L.A., and the nursery is spewing water. You know, the little water spews to keep everything cool, like when you go to Vegas and it's 110, and you're out on the patio, and they got a little spray of water. Well, the nursery had a spray of water just being evaporated. Now here, we're living in a drought, and all this water being wasted. This is, and one of the students told me, they said, did you know, Mr. Coleman, that a good-sized glass of water would keep a family in places like Africa or India going another whole day? And look at what we do here. We waste eternally. I got the point. It hit me like a thud. It hit me like a thud, people, because he was the student that asked me to see that movie, Rampage. Okay? He's the student that asked me to see that, Rampage, the movie. And so we're still having our discussions, and he told me that, and so I told him, I said, well, you must reach your generation. And while he was talking to me, he was saying, oh, they won't listen because I'm young like them. He says, they ought to listen to a man like you. The young man was stimulated to speak with me. Listen, listen, you evangelicals. I've been trying to tell you this thing. You have no intelligence by inviting people to come out to your church to hear your stupid pastor and to hear that lame brain message. In 30 to 35 years in this country, everything that we have at the rate that we're using it is going to be used up. There will not be enough for the whole population. Yes, I'm talking a Soylent Green moment. Yes, I am. Absolutely. I'm not lying about this. And so here I am talking with the student, and I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt, and he gives me one illustration after the next. And I really had to get outside of my selfish protectivism, you so-called Christians, your selfish protectivism, because your finances are protected. You got your money, you got your IRA in place. You got a guaranteed job where you're out there making money and the money's coming in. You're not thinking about where you have to sleep two or three nights from now. You know, oh my God, talking about where you got to sleep. Wait a minute. You know how I help people out, right? And when I help people out and I give people the lessons of life, and I tell them, I said, now listen, young men, when you get out there, if you benefit from the blessing that you have when you spend that little time with me, you are to extol God and honor Him with your life, or God will reverse the good favor and cause you to appear as if one that has never come into contact with favor. And I see that happening in a young man's life. I won't go into any details, but you don't call me when that happens. That's more than karma. And you cannot, listen, when God benefits you, whomever you are, if you do not treat a human being with decency and respect, it matters not to me what kind of movies they have out there showing the killing of the human population. If you do that, there is going to be rendered for you when you close your eyes in death a recompense for that. And sometimes that recompense is to be exampled as you're alive. And I see that happening. Anyhow, the young man said, no, I can't talk with them, Mr. Coleman, because they won't listen to me. He says, I hear what you're saying when you're lecturing. I hear everything that you're saying. And he says, and he told me who his best friend was. And he says, but we're in the minority. And so I said, how do you get your generation to hear? He said, you can't. Now listen to me, evangelicals. Listen. Thank God some of you are still coming to me, because I'm trying to explain to you, and I understand it fully. I said, why can't they? We're talking about from 17 to 20, 25, 26. Your college age group. Why can't they hear? And he said, because they have been, because he's not from America. He said, because they have been systematically turned off. In other words, I said, what do you mean? He said, all my generation is concerned about is the latest gadget, the latest movie, the latest saying. He said, that's why we all get on these pages and talk ridiculous and show off. You know, he says, we're consumers. And he said that is all his population has become. And so they don't think the way that I thought when I was a young person. If someone had come up and asked me, young man in college, I'd say, yes, sir, professor. Says, when your child is 25 years old, where do you think he's going to be able to get a bottle of water from? I would say, why are you asking me this question, professor? Well, I'm asking you that question because scientists tell us that within 25 years, most of the natural produce that comes up from this country will be either polluted, ruined, worn out, used up, and irreplaceable. In other words, a well is going to run dry at the rate that we're using it. Now, if someone had said that to me, I would say, that's a serious statement, man. You know, I love my grandchildren. I would have to do something now to sustain that my grandchildren would live, wouldn't I? Now, I never had that thought, and I have grandchildren. And you know why I never had that thought until now? Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm just like you. I'm a consumer. As long as things are going good for me, as long as I turn the nozzle and water comes out. I told you I'm looking at my plants in the front. I may get some water from the kitchen and pour it in there, but not going to run that water hose on that. I washed my car, and all I did was put some water in a bucket, soap it down, and then wash the soap off and turn that hose right off. I didn't just spray it there for 20 minutes and then water my plants like I have things. We're in a drought. So, if most of us are thinking like me, this is about me, you know, you get your paycheck and then you go to Costco and you stack up with food, so much plastic, aluminum, trash. Have you seen the people, they go to the fast food restaurant going down the street with the kids in the car? Kids just throwing the trash out on the street. I mean, there's not enough police to write enough citations for the dirty people in Los Angeles. And there's a lot of them. Retribution is coming from nature itself. And you have to know that. And so to ask God to do something that he put it in our responsibility to do is ridiculous. Even the young man told me, we were having a discussion as to why these young men would just go and join the army to go and fight and kill somebody and get themselves killed for a cause. And he says, because their minds have been turned off and it's just as good as doing anything else in life. They don't think that deeply about they can die over there and that they're killing other people like that. Because they've been numbed to the effect of loving humankind. I can see that amongst people in social groups now. You let a group of guys be talking and another group of guys just walk by them, sniffing them like mad dogs. Man, we need to go and whoop them, cut them. And man, I'm telling you, man, we're on the end of it. We're on the end of an age. We're all suggestions of morality. And I'm not talking about same-sex marriage. Let people be with whoever they want to be with. That's none of your business. I've said that before. Man, you think I'm concerned about anybody knowing who I'm with and why I'm with them? Well, I'm not with you. Is that a sign? But yeah, well, I'm miserable, so I want you to be miserable. No, you out of your mind. That's what your problem is. I never was miserable when I was with my woman. Oh, I suffered the loss of a lot of things because I was a materialist. I know one of my new friends, and he has a lot of material goods, an awful lot of material goods. And he would say, oh, man, you ought to stop and you ought to see if you can get this and get that. And I said, I'm not a materialist. I said, I'm an immaterialist. I dwell on those things that have immaterial advantage instead of material advantage. Because if it's material, it's wood, hay, and stubble. It's just going to disappear. So I'm not a materialist. I need a driving car. I don't need a car better than that beautiful Chrysler 300. I've been seeing so many of them the past couple of days, and they are so beautiful. There were two black ones, and my little Mini Coupe is black, and they dwarf me. I mean, they just make me look like I'm a midget trying to learn how to crawl in the Mini Cooper. But that Chrysler 300 is one beautiful automobile. I don't require that. Why would I even try to gain one? I just require rolling around in my car, taking care of business the way that I'm supposed to. Now, how do we resolve this conflict? Because in 25, 30 years, it is going to be drastically far more difficult for an individual to live and to prosper and to go forward if he doesn't sustain the level of his nutrients coming into the body. Now, think about every major city. I've been talking to you people about this. Miami, Florida, shut down. San Francisco, Boston, there hasn't been any activity there in 6 months. New York, definitely gone. There was probably a revolution there. Tore down most of the bridge and the gateways. People in Jersey have been trapped for 3 years, trying to get out to get back into the mainstream. How does the country look? Yeah, you still got religious extremists all the way around. When the chaos begins to hit, when the end of our age dons its Aquarius, you will sense it, you will know it, you will feel it, and you will want to get away from it. And if you can't get away from it and you found that it has engulfed you, then your premillennial escape plan did not work. Because I believe that God said that he would take care of me if I took care of his business. Now, most of the people that call themselves Christians are darn sure not taking care of his business. You can't say that their pastor's doing it because he's made the people his business and he's out to entertain them. See, I don't need to be entertained. If you need to be entertained by any charlatan that calls himself a representative of God, you know that you've been handled. That's what that is. But these serious thoughts and very serious considerations need to be undertaken by people in the Christian church today, because many of your pastors are a part of the scheme out there to keep you going in circles. You may think you're doing right, but these dudes know how to keep you going in circles. All right. Let me come back to it. So what do you do? Well, you know where you're originally from. You need to go back to that place. And you need to talk with somebody that may be in charge of that quarter and trying to determine if you want to live there. See, you have to determine whether you want to live there, because if you don't determine that, you're going to be uncomfortable in that location. And so what I'm asking you to do is, as you prepare up for the end of this age, because it is coming. The movies and everything that they show us now has to do with entire civilizations being washed down the toilet, so to say. Well, I just thought that I shared that. I thought that it made a tremendous impact on me. Tremendous impact on me. And another reason why I wanted to do the cast is because we have taken the tendency to get lazy. Since nothing is happening to us, then we can ease up on this. No, no, no. We can't do that if we are truly lovers of humanity. If we're truly Christians, lovers of humanity, lovers of what God has created, we will not only guarantee that our message will be spread, but that it will be promulgated, that's a word, promulgated in the lives of the women See what I mean? In our lives. When you get the right kind of woman, and she hears the right kind of doctrine, then she gets right. That's the way that works. Instead of you having a wild firebrand on your hands. Oh, well. Thank you for tuning in to the webcast. Let me look at this. How much time we got here? Okay, just 35 minutes. I just wanted to say something about that because the end of the age comes for you, finally, when we die. But I'm talking about the end of the age from the biblical eschatological point of view. When is it coming? It's a long way off. But look at the webcast and let me know if you really think it's a long way off. All right. Thanks for coming to the website. I'm going to start reading essays now while my eyes are not heavy. God bless. Whatever you do, stay in the Word.